Hey, dads and non-dads, welcome to the Hey Dad podcast. This is a podcast for three brothers.
Hey.
And one guy who wishes he was our brother.
One guy who wishes... Wait, what's this? I'm sorry. What's this?
Talk about dad stuff.
And sometimes non-dad stuff.
We felt like the portrayal of dads in pop culture didn't really represent us or our friends very well, so we decided to start this podcast, the Hey Dad podcast, to talk about what dad life is really like for us. So, listen, every episode, Kevin usually reads the intro, and then I'm usually the guy that's like, yeah, and sometimes we talk about non-dad stuff, and you know what? We don't. We don't talk about non-dad stuff. Every week I lie. I get in front of the good people and I lie. We pretty much exclusively talk about dad stuff. And I don't know anything about dad stuff. For the last like 20 episodes, I've tried to relate to you guys and be part of the conversation while you talk about what it's like to be a dad. I'm mostly just out here making complete guesses, trying to sneak in a joke here or there. And anytime I feel like I have even like something even remotely related, it's coming from my perspective of what it's like to have a dog. I'm like, I have a dog. I do this. Is this what it's like being a dad? And you guys are like, no, it's not. And you're stupid.
And we're going to edit this bit out of the podcast.
And here's the deal. I'm just not convinced. I think you and me, we're not so different after all. I think having a dog is a lot like having a kid. So my birthday's in 2 days. And here's what I'm declaring. For my birthday this year, I want the shot to convince you that having a dog is actually a lot like having a kid. It's right, time for the non-dad to take the wheel. I want to settle it once and for all. So let me take it from the top. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Fur Baby special of the Hey Dad podcast. Okay, so before we get into it, if you listen to this whole episode and you think, I can't wait to send Tyler articles about how having a baby is so much harder than having a dog, don't you freaking dare. If you haven't noticed by now, like, I'm joking, mostly. I'm pretty much only on this podcast to make these guys laugh. I obviously know having a kid's way harder and more gnarly than having a dog. Also, I would say that if you sent me an article, I probably read that article earlier today when I was prepping for this episode. I Google searched something along the lines of having dog like having kid question mark. I was kind of hoping that like BuzzFeed already did this bit and I could just like quote them for 20 minutes and call it a day.
I also love how I feel like Google turns all of us into cavemen because I've had a version of that. Having dog, having kid question mark. Oh, yes. Dude,
I had to Google the other day, blue cheese Kato.
So all that to say, it looks like I got my work cut out for me tonight, and I think we have some new territory to pioneer together, my dudes. So here's how I think we should do this. I'm thinking of this next little bit of the conversation like a long-form game of Never Have I Ever or, like, parenting bingo.
Okay. Mm.
So I sat down and started to write through and list out all the ways that I think having a dog and having a kid are really similar. And I want to read through these and just see if I'm correct and how many points of relation we actually do have in common.
Challenge accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay, so this is what I came up with. I got a handful of these. I'm going to start off with a slow pitch so I can build some confidence and build my case a little bit. Point of overlap / question number one. Did you have to potty train your kid?
Yeah, yeah, I did, Ty. I kind of feel like you knew the answer to that one.
Yeah, why would I say no to that?
I'm kind of leading the witness here a little bit.
Yeah, so on that note, potty training a dog, not easy. Have been not the primary person responsible for that, but like as a 20-year-old still living at home and we got a dog, pretty involved with potty training a dog. Here's the main difference as I see it. When you have a dog, all you have to do is put them outside. That's it. And
that's
anything,
not what you do with your kids.
Anything outside of your four walls, fair game. The difference between putting a dog outside and teaching a 5-year-old how to aim his tiny little acorn wiener at a toilet and accurately, night and day difference, so much harder.
So I'm going to say this. It is kind of tough with a dog in some respects, because like we recently remodeled our house and got a new dog door, and our dog was like, nah, I don't like this one. Nah, this one's weird. It's got two flaps.
I don't prefer
and
it's
just
line.
Like refusing to do it.
Yeah.
So we actually came home several times to him just having pooped on the floor, mm-hmm. and him being like, sorry, guys.
What was I supposed to do? Go through the double flap?
That's what I did. Yeah. So we actually figured out a system where we would actually like take both flaps and fold them up and Velcro them to the top of the frame on either
side.
So
now it's just a hole in your wall.
This is too difficult. This is just the point where you put the dog down.
What I thought you were going to say is we remodeled our house, so we got a new dog.
Yeah.
Now we got a new dog door.
We remodeled our dog.
We should have thought about it, to be honest.
Okay, so speaking of going to the bathroom, next question. Before leaving the house, do you need to pack things to bring with you in case your kid needs to poop while you're out and about?
Okay, so do I need to? Yeah. Do I ever? No.
I feel like that's a very second, third kid thing. I've definitely gotten to the point now with Josie where like we'll go somewhere. I'll forget. You can't poop here. She'll poop in her diaper. And I'm just kind of like, okay, well, we probably should be home like within the next 45 minutes then. You know what I hate is when your kid has a poopy diaper and you don't know they have a poopy diaper. And then you go and pick them up and put them on your shoulders. Cause there's this moment they're in front of you and you're, yeah. I usually pick them up kind of fast, like almost kind of like I'm almost throwing her over my head. And so the motion of my hands is already going so quickly that like the waft hits my nose right about the same point when I plop her onto the back of my neck aggressively. Oh, yeah. And I feel the poop at the same time that I smell the poop. It's terrible.
And, and the plop is onomatopoeic. It sounds like what you're saying.
I think with Emmy, I reflexively like just check now. Because
I need to.
I'm terrified of that happening. And I just feel like I don't even think about it. I just go, okay, all right, here we go.
Tyler, not only do we pack stuff in case our child poops, we've gotten to the point with Josie, our 2-year-old, where if the car ride we're going to go on is longer than about 10 minutes, we have to pack an entire barf bag where it's like multiple towels, wipes, change of clothes, because sometimes she might go two hours.
A barf bag, not meaning like a thing for her to barf in, like meaning a suitcase packed with barf supplies.
It's a barf kit. And so legitimately it'll be a 15-minute drive. So my parents live 5 minutes from our house. Every time we pull into their driveway, she'll go, I didn't throw up. We've been driving for 1.2 miles.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. I want to start doing that too. I want to start celebrating the little victories like that.
There's this book that my buddy, my cousin Tim gave me, and it's like a worst case scenario handbook for dads. And there's this scenario I still have yet to try, and I'm really looking forward to it at some point, where it's a makeshift diaper with like a t-shirt and like a gym sock and some duct tape. And the gym sock is like the absorbent material, and then the shirt is like what holds it all, kind of frames it, and then the duct tape is what holds it all together.
The worst episode of MacGyver ever.
Yeah.
It's like gym sock as maxi pad.
Yeah.
The duct tape goes over your kid's mouth so they won't tell your wife that you put a diaper on them made out of a t-shirt.
That's what it's for. Yes.
Okay, another question, point of overlap. Have you ever bribed your kids with treats?
Yep.
Oh, tons. Yeah.
A lot. A lot of times.
The top shelf of our fridge right now has little chocolate chips. Yeah. Just ready to go for David.
Literally tonight. Marshmallows for us. Gideon, somehow, he's 7 years old. He's basically just discovered how good soda is. Kid had lots of juice growing up. It's not like he never had any sugar, but soda. So loud.
Toll House semi-sweet morsel for David and for me when David's asleep. Mm.
So he got home, and on the way out of the car, he punched Josie in the stomach because Josie kicked him. I mean, to be clear, he didn't punch her that hard, but he was very much like, I'm going to show you who's bigger. And then he turned around and didn't know I was looking at him and like was immediately like, I've made a terrible mistake.
You were watching that?
So I had to bribe him with the promise of a Mountain Dew so he wouldn't be a complete spaz during his first baseball game. And then before we got home, he lost it. It was very sad.
Oh, you said, I'll give you a Mountain Dew if you're great during your game. Mm-hmm. And then he punched his sister.
It was even worse because he didn't even know. He never had a Mountain Dew. So he like just the name Mountain Dew. He was like,
oh, so evocative.
Yeah.
For like a split second, Kev, I thought you were going to say like, I had to bribe him with a Mountain Dew so he wouldn't punch her.
I know, me too. I was like, oh, this is very bad. I ask you guys a question about Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
You think that, because the way you just said it, it made it sound like hearing Mountain Dew before having the experience would lead to like a better or maybe a worse experience? Do you think if you heard something was called Mountain Dew and then you drank Mountain Dew and then you found out what the thing called Mountain Dew actually tasted like, you'd be really disappointed?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Am I wrong to think that Mountain Dew is actually still pretty good?
No, Mountain Dew's good.
I mean, I haven't had it since eighth grade, but it's probably
good. Whatever, Tyler, you were into Baja Blast for so long.
That is different. They carry that at Taco Bell. It's an exclusive experience.
That and Code Red.
I'm just saying, you could bribe me with Baja Blast.
My Twitch channel is sponsored by Code Red.
Code Red had so much caffeine, right? That was the thing. It was like, it's going to get you amped. It's like Four Loko.
That's Red Line. Fun fact, I drank 2 Red Lines before my junior prom and thought I was having a heart attack and went home about 2 hours before everyone else.
This episode of the Hey Dad podcast is brought to you by the Hey Dad Playbox. The Hey Dad Playbox is a box that we make, us at Hey Dad, and we ship it out to so many of you that listen to the podcast. And each shipment is a new theme and a new way to play with your kids. It's fun and it's imaginative, and sometimes it's messy and sometimes it's a little dangerous. It's basically fun dad stuff that you actually want to do instead of stuff you feel obligated to do. Is that a thing? Anyway, we love it. We're so glad we get to work on it all the time. We're so glad so many of you love it. And if you've never tried it before, I would encourage you to go to heydad.com right now and use the code HeyDadPodcast to get $10 off your first box and free shipping. Do it right now. Heydad.com. The code HeyDadPodcast.
If your kids are too quiet for a while, do you start to get nervous that they're getting into trouble?
100%.
Totally.
The other day, Emmy was in the bathroom. I was on the couch watching TV, and I went, "Hey, Emmy, what are you doing?" And she goes, "Nothing." And like, I'm like, "Okay, that's fine. I don't care." And then, like an exaggerated amount of time later, I'm gonna say at least a minute, she goes again, "Nothing."
It was a just in case nothing.
So I get up and she's flushing every Band-Aid we have down the toilet.
Every Band-Aid individually? But
just one by one. But I just thought it was so great that she had to like reiterate nothing after a full minute. As I'm like, did he believe me? Let's give it her a shot.
Oh, that's so funny.
I like to think that her conscience is on like a 60-second delay.
Yes. Yes.
Could get her into some serious trouble.
Still nothing.
I've had this experience with my dog. I know you've had this experience with your kids. Have you done that thing where you're like looking forward to getting a night away or like a date and like having a break, and then you're gone for like a couple hours and you kind of start to miss them and you want to like change your plans and go back?
We remember having that with, actually with our dog, not so much our kids.
Yeah, 100%. I resonate with that. I totally have done that. And you're like, all I want to do is be away, especially if you ever get like a night away. And then you're like laying in a bed in a hotel room, hopefully after fun stuff happens. And then you're laying there and you're like, I wonder what our kids are doing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we could drive home.
Yeah.
Like, or the flip side, like our kids spend the night at my parents' house way too often. It's awesome. Like every couple weeks probably. And then when Trish and I are like walking down the hallway and like all their doors are open at 9 p.m. and their noisemakers aren't like rattling the doors because they're on so loud and our house is like quiet and there's no one in there, we're just like, oh, this doesn't feel right. Let's go.
You just
find
go
them.
Turn. You just go turn their noisemakers on just yeah. to feel like.
I'm like, Trisha, will you wake me up at 10 p.m. covered in urine?
Can you go flush all our Band-Aids down the toilet one at a time? So like after hopefully a good night's sleep, maybe that doesn't exist anymore. Nope. In the morning when your kid wakes up, does that pretty much mean you're up too?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. With my oldest Gideon, he and I both sort of wake up pretty chipper, but he's gone so far past me now. Like, he wakes up in such a good mood that it makes me mad. And I'm just like, I just want to tell him that the world is a dark and scary place yeah. at, like, 6:15.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, the extent to which the overlap keeps going between dogs and kids. But I feel pretty safe about this one. Does your kid want to put everything in their mouth?
Yep. I would actually argue there's that, like, maybe not first three or four months, maybe it's like month four to like month eight where kids are really putting everything in their mouth, when kids and dogs are probably the most similar
yeah.
at that age.
Yeah. Driving yeah. to the Oakland Zoo today, I turn around to see that David has had a small rock with him for the entire journey. I don't know where he got the rock from, but the rock is in his mouth. And I'm driving, left hand on the wheel, right hand reaching back, prying the rock out of his mouth. He's biting my fingers, just like, no! And I'm just like, you're not going to choke on this rock while we go to the zoo. And I pull it out of his mouth, and then he's so mad at me, like I'm the worst dad in the world for taking the rock from him.
I like to imagine that he's back there making a pearl.
Yeah.
He's like, Dad, I have a plan.
You've ruined everything.
Just give me time. It'll be beautiful.
I was going to give this to Mom
for Mother's Day. Have you ever WebMD'd a weird symptom that your kid has and gotten freaked out by the search results?
Yep. Yes, I
Wait,
have.
Did you do that for your dog?
Yeah, I've done that for my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, too, that I feel like is you mentioned, Kev, the idea of like there's a particular window in which dogs and kids have the most overlap. I think before your kids are verbal, when like they can't tell you what's wrong and you're just looking at them like, I wish you could just tell me what's wrong and then I could fix it, like yep. with your baby. Dogs are just dumb and don't talk for their whole lives. And yep. so our grown dog one day just like all of the like hair follicles on her face, like all of her like blood vessels, she just started bleeding out of them.
Whoa.
What? Whoa. Like she was like sweating blood out of her mouth. And we're like, well, she's going to die today. This is it. And then it just stopped 5 minutes later. And then it never happened again.
That's like final dogstination. Like something, something is happening with your dog.
Your dog has stigmata.
She did this. She just done this other thing a couple of times where like she'll wake up from a nap and she'll look at me and just be like trembling. And she's just like shaking. And I literally did the dumb Google caveman thing again where I just said, dog Parkinson's ? And the internet was like, oh yeah, that's a thing. Some dogs just shake. Don't worry, it doesn't hurt them. It's like a hiccup. If you distract them, it'll go away. Oh. So then I just went and got a treat, and then she stopped shaking.
Wow.
It's happened like 5 times. I think now I've like Pavlovian conditioned yeah. her into She's just like having
shake,
tremors.
I get a treat.
Oh my gosh.
So it's really annoying when your kids can't tell you their symptoms because they're not verbal. I think it's even more annoying when your kid's like 5 and like extremely verbal, like knows almost every word you know at 5. And then they'll just like be really grumpy for like a whole week. And then you'll take them in and they have an ear infection. And you're like, why didn't you tell me that your ear hurt, dumb dumb? We could have solved this 6 days ago. Why were you just mean for a week?
Has your kid ever ruined or broken something that you loved? I'll give an example. Yes, Tyler. Thank you, Tyler. When we got our dog, we received contradictory advice from different veterinarians.
Oh, that's a that's a very much a parenting thing.
Is this a thing too? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, contradicting advice? Yeah, that is parenting.
Oh, great. Sounds really fun. We got contradictory advice from two different veterinarians about when we should get her spayed, get her fixed. And based on like the size of dog she was, et cetera, et cetera. And we have a boxer. And this really, really cool thing about boxers is basically there's these two schools of thought about when you should get your dog spayed. And if you do it before they get their, if you get them spayed before they get their heat, I might be mixing this up, but the sentiment is the same. If you get them spayed before they get their first heat, then it increases their risk of skin cancer. If you get them spayed after their heat, it increases their chances of arthritis. Oh, no. So it's just kind of like choose how you want your dog to die eventually. So super cool. So we were going to try to get her spayed before her first heat, but our veterinarian gave us very bad advice about when that would happen in the timetable of her development. And so we had
your dog's been drinking too much of that hormone milk.
Yeah, so whatever dog version of Aunt Ruby came to town, all over our brand new couches. So super cool, super super cool. And then like in so then she's wearing these dog diapers.
Yep.
For like a month.
I remember that.
And we buy these like expensive dog diapers and then the Velcro dies out. So then we just start putting her in like actual human diapers. So we just like, I'm going to the store and buying diapers for my dog. And then we would leave her at home for a couple hours at a time when we would, you know, go to the store or go to work or whatever. And so one of these days she's wearing this diaper and we come home. We open the door and we see the diaper in the middle of the hallway without my dog in it. No. And what we come to find out is that somehow in this process also there was this like perfect storm happening in her body where not only was she on her heat, but she also got like gnarly dog diarrhea and had gotten just really used to spending time making messes on our couch. And so decided to finish what she started, so to speak, all over our brand new couches. So, yeah, I'm guessing you've had an experience something like that.
No,
with your kid.
I very much have not.
I
definitely came into this podcast ready to argue how much harder it is to be a real dad. That is the grossest. That's grosser than anything I've done as a dad.
Dude, Tyler, you changed me.
Oh man, I didn't think that was going to be the anecdote that gave me the validation I was looking for. But here we are.
I did not plan for this.
So, I mean, obviously you structured all of those questions to be questions we pretty much had to say yes to. And having been around, especially puppies, I'm not at all, like the two big similarities I think there are to between having a kid and having a dog is when they're a puppy, they are an insane amount of work. That is a very real thing. You're up in the middle of the night with them. You're trying to figure out how to potty train them. They have so much energy. You have to figure out how to meet their needs. They don't know how to verbalize their needs. There's so much that is similar. And when you go from not having kids to having a kid or not having a dog to having a dog, all of a sudden there's like another person or another creature's needs in the equation. And that very much affects your independence and freedom. And so I think those things are very similar. The quibble that I would have is like, this is not, it's really just about severity. It's really just about like, yeah, yeah. Is potty training a thing for dogs? Yes. But like, does that compare to like 3 years of changing diapers? No. And like, does your dog like get up with
but
a lot of-
But have you ever changed a dog's diaper?
Yeah. Does your dog get up in the middle of the night sometimes and like wake you up? Yes. Does your kid wake you up every hour and a half for the first 3 months of his life and suck the life force out of your body? This would be moms only. No, your dog does not do, hopefully your dog does not do that. So like, and a lot, you know, the other piece of that is like a baby is 100 times, 1,000,000 times less self-sufficient and more helpless than a puppy. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if a newborn puppy really could like survive on its own without its mom, but like at like 6 weeks it could. Mm-hmm. And Gideon is 7 and I freaking put his pants on for him in the morning. Mm-hmm. So like that, the amount of effort and then the amount of responsibility and love, I think those are the things that make the big difference. But I will say, I think having a puppy is the best preparation for having a kid that you can have.
I agree.
It's a good ramp up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like jokes aside, there are obviously a lot of things that are way easier about having a dog. I pour her food out of a bag into a bowl on the ground twice a day. We can leave her home alone when we go out for a date night, et cetera, et cetera.
Wait, what's different though?
If I cage my kids, all of a sudden I'm a terrible dad.
Yeah. Well,
do you guys, you rub their noses in it after they go to the bathroom, right?
How else are they going to learn? Yeah, no way. Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of this is just an exercise in me also trying to figure out how shocked I'm going to be when I figure out like which things are and are not transferable. Like I agree. I think having a dog before having kids is great because it does expand kind of your imagination to start to factor in another person or another part of the family that you have to like make arrangements for, et cetera. There's a bunch of reasons why it's great. But I also know there are plenty of things that aren't transferable. So one of the questions I have, what are your guys' thoughts on putting kids on leashes?
So I had every intention. I brought this up to Trisha earlier today, knowing we were going to talk about some dog stuff tonight. I brought up the leash thing to Trisha earlier today. And I was basically like, we both think leashes are BS, right? And I was very much thinking we were going to be on the same page. And Trisha surprised me and changed my mind.
Oh,
here was her take. Do you know how much mom guilt and mom shaming happens? She was like, do you know if there's, because it's usually a mom, if there's a mom with a leash, that mom has gone through this mental exercise. Every other mom is going to judge me when I put this kid in on a leash.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
She's like, that mom is desperate. I am not about to judge that mom. I'm not about to shame that mom. And she's like, and I've been that mom. And she told me, which I didn't know, that she put Julian on a leash at the zoo. This is like 3 years ago or 2 years ago or something like that. But okay. She's like, guess what? He was a runner at that age. He wasn't going to be a runner forever, but at that age, he was a runner. And honestly, I'm not super confident in the height of the alligator fencing. And that one kid got into an enclosure with Harambe, and Julian could be that kid. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to take whatever judgment other parents want to give to me. I'm going to put my kid on a leash because my two options are don't go anywhere in public or put my kid on a leash. And I'm desperate and I'm doing it. So you know what? Listen, if your kid's like 12 and you've got him on a leash, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you've got a toddler on a leash, I'm not here to judge you.
Derek and Andy, you guys had dogs before you had kids. Right. Can you tell me how your relationship with your dog changed after you had kids?
Okay, so you said like, oh, imagine how much you already love your dog. Here's my scenario. I don't love my dog. I didn't love my dog before David, and I don't love the dog now.
I've met your dog, so yeah, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like we basically got the dog because, you know, she's hypoallergenic, and that was our way of getting a dog. And, you know, she looked cute on the pet adoption website, and it seemed great for a little bit. But then I'm like, you're basically like a rodent more than a
I didn't know that we were allowed to talk about not liking your dog, because I would like to second that.
Yeah, Leia's just okay.
She's fine. She's fine.
She's all right. Fine. You know, yeah. She's got a good personality or something. I don't know. Yeah. Our dog sleeps in our bed. I'm not crazy about it. If I move even just the tiniest bit and our dog Leia is like tucked into the like corner of my legs, I mean, I get it. She's like 11 pounds. So if I like roll over dramatically, which I do like 4 or 5 times in the middle of the night, if I roll over dramatically, it's a life or death scenario for her. But you just hear her under the covers like, you just like, and it's like at 2 a.m, I'm just like, I friggin' hate this dog. So to answer your question,
I don't understand why you let your dog sleep in your bed if you hate it. Why do you do that?
Well, we have like a little dog den underneath the bed that's supposed to be for her, but she doesn't use it. Sure.
Make her use it. You're a person. She's a dog.
I try kicking her, but Sarah's there too for accountability. And she's like, no, we love this dog. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
You're like, you love this dog.
Sure, we totally love this dog.
A couple thousand years ago, some idiot was like, I should bring this wolf into my house and domesticate it and expect it to behave perfectly. Since then, dog owners have had to accept the fact that from time to time, our dogs act like complete psychos. It gets a little harder when the behavior in question isn't about your dog, but about your kids. Lucky for you, we have this next segment where we help you answer the age-old question, is my kid a psycho? Here's a voicemail we got recently.
Hey, dads and non-dad. I have a story for you. It's about my son. And this is a couple years ago. He's about 9 years old. And we were up on Tahoe, in Tahoe, regardless of the preposition, we were at Tahoe in a cabin with our family, and we were all sharing a room. So I have 2 younger daughters and our son's the oldest. So my wife and I are in bed, and at the foot of our bed, there was a bunk bed where our daughter was on the bottom bunk. Our son was on the top bunk. Then right beside us, our youngest was in like a little porter crib. So it was like middle of the night. Probably like 2 a.m, we hear some growling. I'm like, oh man, there's a bear. That's crazy and scary. So I kind of wake my wife up, or I try to wake her up, but she's already awake. And she's like, I was like, do you hear that? And she's like, yeah, what is that? And I was like, I think it's like, it's either a deranged badger or like it was something rabid. All I knew was some wild animal. But then we look in the top bunk and there's some rustling. And all of a sudden, like up on all fours is this this creature that is actually our son. I was like, what the heck? And so we get out of bed and I go, I'm like, what's going on, buddy? And he's like, and he starts growling at me. I was like, this is strange. This is not normal 2 a.m. behavior. So we pull him down from the bunk and he's just growling at us. And I quickly realize he's having a night terror. And if you're not familiar with night terrors, basically when you get a fever, sometimes certain people, their brains essentially bake and they turn into an evil demon. Typically it's children, and if you Google it, it's often like young boys. So anyway, I actually grew up, I had a bunch of night terrors, so I knew what was going on. And Tate had oh gosh, I said his name. Oh, no, now you know. It's a different Tate, it's not the Tate you know. But anyway,
that makes sense.
Tate had some night terrors before, so we knew what was kind of going on. So my wife like gets in his face and she's like, hey buddy, it's okay. It's mommy's here. I love you. And Tate, he had like this glassy eyed expression and he turned. I'm pretty sure his head did like a 180, 360. It was whatever your head's not supposed to do. Anyway, he like looks at my wife and says, I will bring the pain. Which again, in any context is a freaky sentence. But at 2 a.m, when the only thing you've heard out of your son is unintelligible growling, that's very disconcerting. So we bring him in the bathroom. We're trying not to like wake up our daughters. And we're trying to comfort him. We're trying to like calm him down. And sometimes what worked was like counting, like getting him to count. And we're like, all right, repeat after me. 1, 2. And eventually bring him up on my lap. He's like sitting on my lap and he's just growling like a crazy person. And I kind of feel his body like get a little less stiff and a little less crazy. And all of a sudden he kind of giggles a little bit, and then he's kind of like nervous laughing, and then he's like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, what are you talking about, Tate? He's like, why are we counting? Like, what? Like, he's like, why am I in the bathroom, guys? I'm trying to sleep. So in Tate's brain, we had jostled him out of bed to do a little midnight round of know your numbers and learn your alphabet. And he would never know the fear that we had in our hearts from the demon who had just spoken to us. So we put him back in his bed. He fell right asleep, again, frustrated that we woke him up. And we crawled back in bed, unable to sleep for countless nights after that. But anyway, I thought that story would be nice little proof that for the other people who have psycho children, that they're not alone. And it could be worse.
Oh, well told. Well told.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Guys, I'm gonna ask something, and this is a judgment-free space, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. So, meaning you guys can't judge me.
Okay.
Are night terrors...
Derek, it is about 8 years too late for that, my guy.
Are night terrors real?
Oh, they are so real. Okay.
Are they?
Kevin and I had bunk beds.
Did Kevin have night terrors?
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. I was on the bottom bunk, and yeah. Kevin would freak out in the middle of the night screaming out of nowhere, and Mom and Dad would come in the room and they would try to comfort him and say, "It's okay, Mom and Dad are here." And Kevin would scream, "You're not my mom." And I'm on the bottom bunk, yeah. absolutely terrified. Just like biting my pillow, just going.
And they're paying no attention to you.
Oh, yeah. You're fine. But yeah, Kevin gets all the attention. I'm freaking out. Like, what is going on with my demon possessed brother in the top bunk right now? And then they somehow calm him down and put him back to sleep. And then I'm supposed to keep sleeping after all that? No way.
Okay, I hear all that, but are night terrors like real? Because here's what I've heard. Kevin woke up yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
All done that.
Mm-hmm.
We all woken up and yelled out, "You're not my real mom." Are night terrors real?
I love the whole growling, and then I'll bring the pain.
I'm calling shenanigans on that. I don't think that could really happen. My kid's not waking up at night growling and then quoting Method Man songs.
That's so good. I also love the moment where Tate's like, where he snaps out of it and then he's mad at his parents.
Why are we counting in the bathroom?
I gotta say, it's actually like a really like interesting like dose of reality that like to get a kid to calm down, you would just have to count like, all right, numbers, numbers, right?
Yeah. Well, it makes sense because when you want to hypnotize somebody,
it's like totally dealing with this with the super drunk person where you're like, hey, hi, buddy. Hey, how are you?
When you hypnotize somebody, don't you count them in? So maybe if you can unhypnotize them from like a night terror, do you count them out? Maybe that's the thinking.
The science is sound.
Plus, I like the mental image of this little guy waking up just like mid counting. So he doesn't know he's counting. All of a sudden, what he knows is he's just in the bathroom, sitting on his dad's lap, and he just went 8. And he's just like, "What? Wait, why? Why did I just shout 8? Where am I?" The more of these voicemails that we get, the more I'm realizing that this segment is not so much like a place where people are looking for us to help them answer this question. These parents already know the answer to the stories they have. They just need someone to talk to, or they want to one-up each other, or they want to prove that their kid is the most psycho. I'm not sure. Maybe this segment should be, "Is my kid the most psycho?"
Oh, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, because night terrors aren't real.
Yeah. The darkness that came out of that kid.
Or or like the next generation's Daniel Day-Lewis.
He's in it.
Like it's one or the other. It's either complete psycho or total method actor. Yeah. I'm not sure.
He's going to move to Italy and build shoes for 8 years.
If you've got a story of your kid being a psycho and you want to tell us about it, call us 415-340-2349. Maybe you'll be on this very podcast.
Well, thanks for joining us for this first installment of this 20-part series we're going to be doing on being a dog dad. That's it for this episode. But before we leave, Derek, tell the good listeners what we have on deck for next time.
Yeah, sure. Retired 4-star Gulf War General Norman Schwarzkopf is going to be here to talk about A Star Is Born. And just, like, I got a lot of questions about it, and I want to ask him about it. Like, first off, Bradley Cooper's voice. Don't think it was necessary. Second off, Lady Gaga really can sing. I knew that. But also, Sam Elliott's great, right? Anyway, he's going to talk about all that. It's going to be cool.
cool. All right. Well, until next time, I'm Kevin.
I'm Derek.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Tyler.
Love you. Bye.